Hi people, and hello my Chili Con Carnage crew. It's Chili here from Live Listen Erased, and welcome to my end of year special where I count down my top 10 favorite songs of the year 2022. Damn, it's over already. First up, and of course, a very Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays for whatever event you are celebrating. I hope you are enjoying yourselves. We're here at the end of the year now, and this is the final countdown. This list that I have made is going to be varied, I guess, when it comes to music, but it is ranked, I think, to a degree, to my my favorite songs at the very end. So, yeah, the rankings, here we go. We're going to start off, of course, with number 10. My spot for number 10 of my favorite songs of 2022 goes to, of course, Machine Head's Become the Firestorm. This song, what can I say about this song? It's just a powerful statement. It's a powerful song. Incredible riffs just going in hard right from the start, of course. It's a very solid album from Machine Head, of course, of Kingdom and Crown. You know, it was definitely up there for possibly one of my favorite albums of the year, but yeah, there were a few others I felt that were better. And if you're curious, I am going to be doing my top 10 favorite albums of the year. That'll come out a bit later on, actually, right on the fresh start of the new year. So keep an eye out for that. But Become the Firestorm is just damn impressive, as I was saying. You know, it's like traditional Machine Head. Just coming in hard, really fast, very strong, right out of the gates, of course, before it just gets into that breakdown about halfway in, that would just, I can feel being out there in a pit. You know, if you're at a Machine Head concert and they're playing Become the Firestorm, you better open that pit up, because damn, it is just going to get brutal. It's going to be an incredible song to see live. I can't wait to see them live when they go and do their little tour, of course. It's going to be a spectacle. You know, a lot of the tracks from Off Kingdom of Crown were incredible, but I thought, anyway, when it came to that album, Become the Firestorm was the real standout. Yeah, Slaughter the Martyr was an incredible track, but Become the Firestorm really did stand out to me anyway. My number 9 spot for the top 10 songs of 2022 is going to go to Porcupine Tree with their song Chimera's Wreck. Now, this is just an incredible song from the guys. I love Porcupine Tree. Continuation. I keep saying Continuum for some reason. But Closure Continuation, you know, it's the end of an era when it comes to this band. Will we see another album from these guys? Most likely no. It's kind of devastating to see that the band is coming to a close. Hopefully I can catch them one last time. I did see them when they came out for their tour during the incident, which was, you know, very decent out, and they played that in full. So to be able to see them, I guess, doing Closure Continuation would be interesting. And in particular, if they could play Chimera's Wreck, that would be absolutely great, because that song is just this progressive rock, you know, wet dream, I guess you could say. It's this very odd, complex kind of song where, you know, it starts off very soft and acoustic-y almost, you know, with its steps and bass line and all that, before eventually, you know, it gets into the complexities of a free-form almost kind of guitar beat. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not musically in tune with these things. But yeah, Chimera's Wreck just has this very off-kilted kind of guitar and ebb flow, and it all kind of comes back into play at one point, you know. It's almost like freeform jazz to a degree, you know, except that eventually the time signatures do overlap and come back together. It's a very interesting and complex piece. You know, if there was a much more talented musician who did a breakdown of this, I would be very keen to watch it, because, you know, I'm guessing there are very underlying complex things in regards to this song. But the way it just builds up, you know, it's nearly a 10-minute track. The way it just builds up, eventually coming to its fruition, and, you know, adding to, I guess, the chaos, adding to the song overall, it's just impressive. Incredible build up. Porcupine Tree know their craft when it comes to their stuff. And they've really written their very nuanced song here, and I think it's very well. You know, especially when you compare it to, say, the rest of the album. Not disregarding the entire album, actually. You know, Harridan of the New Day and all that stuff. but I do think Chimera's Wreck just stands out head and shoulders above that album in regards to the track listing there. So you're probably hearing a bit of the background right now. I'll try and edit it, but you know, it's just this incredible track and I absolutely love it to death. That's why it's made the number 9 spot here. So what could have beaten it, eh? The number 8 spot for my top 10 songs of 2022 is going to go to the Mars Volta with Black Light Shine. And this is a song that just caught my attention straight from the start. You know, when Mars Volta announced that they were getting back together and they had their new single released, you know, it was like, oh my god, what? When did this happen? Quick, everyone to their stations, you know. And it was an incredible video clip. It was a long video clip, actually. The piece was very extended, had a nice break, you know, nice break in between where people were dancing and all that stuff. And I thought, this is a really cool video clip. And it showed a bit of their old, you know, vernacular band coming back together. You know, very Latino type of beats to it, I guess, and pure flow. And even though it was a short song, under 3 minutes long, it was like for a moment there before they released any other singles anyway, it kind of felt like, damn, the Mars Volta is back. Before, of course, what we got for the rest of the album. I'm not disregarding it, but at the same time, I kind of am. It's a complex issue when it comes to that album. But Black Light Shine really represented the band, kind of like, I guess, a lot of fans, I think, got their hopes really up there when they heard that song. Absolutely incredible track, you know, that feel to it, just with the little congas in between and stuff like that. It's a really rhythmic dancing song, I guess. You can get up and dance to this track quite easily. And I can imagine if they were doing live performances, they'd probably do a long freeform, you know, drumming percussion section in jamming this one, because it really does sound like you could do that. You really can feel it. It's a really good video clip as well. If you haven't watched it, highly recommend it as well. The unedited version, preferably. I have done a reaction video to that, if you're interested in watching that, by the way. My number 7 spot for my top 10 songs of 2022 is going to go to The Butterfly Effect. Of course, with their song Visiting Hours, this song, oh my gosh, it is such a chilling track. This track can go on, it's incredible. It's the closing track from their album number 4, or however you want to pronounce that one, their most recent album, and it's just great to hear the band back together. You know, the album's very dark, I guess heavy, I should say, compared to their previous stuff. But hearing like the Visiting Hours in particular brought back memories of old, and it's like, while we are moving forward, here's something that will remind you, I guess, of the older times because of its stylistic change to the album. It's the way that the music just progresses, builds up, and the ebb and flow to the old, you know, to this whole song is just amazing. The Visiting Hours just builds up to this glamorous point before crashing. And, you know, Clint's vocals are just on point. The whole band is just on fire. And it's just great to hear the band coming together. And it's like they never left, you know. A couple of old friends getting back together and coming back to conversations like they never had stopped despite all this time. So, yeah, Visiting Hours is like this bittersweet kind of memory of what was, and but it is now, that's the main thing, you know. So that's a great piece to hear from the Butterfly Effect. Clint's vocals amazing to hear again. Hearing those notes soaring higher and higher, especially towards the end, is just on point. You know, he's done some great vocals over his life, and to me, I think Visiting Hours anyway, it's right up there. You know, it's, he just soars, he just builds it. It's nothing straight away. It's this slow, you know, subvert of what you would expect out of the song, I guess. You can feel it's coming. And then at the end, it culminates into this amazing build-up and ending. It's great. Highly recommend it. Listen down. Was it worth waiting for? Young pagans, Number 6 is going to go to Smashing Pumpkins' track Beguiled. And does this count as cheating? Because it technically was a single, but it's going to be released on their next album, Autumn Act 2, which is out next year. I don't know, I don't feel like it is, because it was released as a single this year. To me, that counts. But Beguiled was like this moment of like, oh crap, Smashing Pumpkins, they're back and they're at it again. This track is great. It's like this old school sound, just guitars and stuff like that, coming back to it. It's amazing. And the video clip, super impressive, long one take, you know, everyone in this kind of corridor of lights, mirrors, all this stuff going on. Very much very fantastic choreography, dancing, I can't say words today. But yeah, it's just this incredible mixture of very well themed chaos, I guess would sum it up in one word. You know, and you know, Billy Corgan's up front and center doing his thing, and it's not a overly complicated song. It doesn't need to be. A lot of the Smashing Pumpkins songs aren't that complicated, but you know, it's like back to basics, I guess, and that's what counts. It's the Smashing Pumpkins we want. I'm speaking on behalf as a fan here, but yeah, I thought Beguiled when I heard it, just an absolute incredible track, and I loved it. You know, it's despite the fact Autumn Act 1, what I have said about it, which I am slightly growing more and more to enjoy, I feel like Beguiled at least treats it like there is something a bit more on the horizon, so I've got a bit more to come, you know, to expect when it comes to their future releases. After all, they've got two more albums out, and two more reviews to come on those ones, of course. And you're just wretch, and my tears lay gasping. The number 5 spot goes to The Garden with track OC93, and this is easily one of the best finds I've had in a long time. I mean, I found them out only a couple of months ago, did a review, it did quite well as well, and introduced me to the whole Vada Vada community, if you will, and I'm impressed. These guys, they're onto something here, and I'm so glad to be on it for the ride. You know, OC93 is, I don't know how to describe their album, to be honest. It's perfect chaos. You know, synth punk, folk punk, hardcore punk. In this case, this track is a bit more hardcore punkish, but, you know, if you listen to this track compared to a few others on the same album, by the way, Horseshit on Route 66, you'd be going, hey, is this really on the same album? It's very different. I mean, you got like the Tom Araya screams in the background of OC93, and then you got this kind of surf punk kind of feel to it. It is very weird sounding, but I don't really know why. It just kind of captures you. Your curiosity is mine, you know, it says. And The Garden are just an incredible band. I really would love to see them if they came out to Australia. I don't know when, how, or why they would, but they are up there. They're really cool. I love hearing The Garden, and I've got to listen to a bit more of them, to be honest, but this album in particular, Horseshit on Route 66, incredible album, highly recommend it. OC93 as well, my favourite track from the album. The number 4 spot is going to go to the Author and Punisher song, Drone Carrying Dread. This is from their album out back in, I think, February this year, Crueler, if I've said that right. And Author and Punisher are just this very, well, he's a very eclectic person. Basically, it's a one-man band, and I've seen them live when they did a tour with Tool, and it's possibly the loudest band I've ever seen perform. It kind of felt crushing. Yeah, how do I describe them? Like Nine Inch Nails, but heavier. And I don't mean like guitar heavy, I just mean industrial synth level heavy. What is the instrument that he's playing in this? It's unique. It's a very unique man-made instrument that the musician has created himself. Basically, he is an engineer. He is an electronics engineer, I think, with a mechanical engineer background. And he does all these things in the background. He made his own instrument where it kind of looks like a I don't know how to describe it. It's impossible to describe. But there's this like mechanical arm that, you know, adjusts pitch and stuff like that. There's a ball off to a side. There's a little keypad thing in front of him. You know, this ball thing weighs like 400 kilograms. I'm not even joking. And that adjusts speed and rhythm, of course. And I don't know how to describe it. If you're curious about it, there is like a, you know, 10-minute video where he talks about creating this thing and how he makes it move on tour and stuff because it's so heavy. And it's such an incredible watch. That's the reason why I got into him, was because, you know, this video came up on my feed saying, oh yeah, check this guy out, he's just so unique. And I'm like, damn, that is an odd thing. Then I listened to his album, I think it was Beastland or something, and I was like, this is brutally heavy industrial kind of metal sounding, and I love that sound. It's almost to the point where it's so heavy you can only listen to a couple of tracks before it becomes overbearing, though. It's very, very, very sad. I don't know how to describe it. I guess maybe sad would be a word. Yeah, it's a lot to take in. And seeing him live is like, wow, I can't believe I saw him live, to be honest. I was so happy. But Drone Carrying Dread, sorry, it's a bit different to his previous works, where it kind of has this epic build-up right at the beginning there, where it's very synth-laden, and, you know, the melodic side of it is different to his previous works. And it does feel like the song suggestion, you know, here is a drone possibly homing in on you, and that's a lot of dread when you're looking up at the sky, and you could, well, if you could see the drone, do I guess, but the idea of it, it's always circling overhead, and he's put this into a song, the feeling of it, and it's a very heavy sound, it's a very heavy feeling. So yeah, going over it, absolutely incredible track. If you like your dark industrial type of sounds, in particular, you know, Fear Factory, you know, of course, Nine Inch Nails, then you're probably going to love Author and Punisher. It's just incredible. The number 3 spot is going to go to Jimmy Eat World's single, Something Loud. And damn, does this make me go onto like a nostalgia trip. It's just great to see the lads performing some classic rock and roll that they did back in the day. I mean, Jimmy Eat World is a band that I've been a big fan of for quite a long time now. You know, going back to like Bleed America, Futures, and all those albums in between and after, to be honest. When you look over their catalogue, they've released some incredible tracks, albums I should say, you know, particularly like Clarity, which is overshadowed at the time, but in Reflections, it's quite the impressive album. Futures I thought was good, and then after that, they kind of slowed right down. You know, they were releasing some good songs after that, but nothing really took the edge like they did with Bleed America, or, you know, Clarity, of course. But when I listened to Something Loud, it was like, I mean, it's a nostalgia trip. It feels like the old Jimmy Eat World, just them getting back together, having fun writing a song. And I guess it also reflects so in the lyrics, because, you know, the lyrics is talking about how they were back in the day, in like 95, touring, just having fun, just chilling out and playing songs. It's kind of like a group of friends just getting together and like, remember how good old times were, you know, and that's kind of what me and my friends talk about a lot nowadays, so I can reflect and understand upon that situation. Everyone wants to go for that nostalgia trip, and I feel like Something Loud is the personified song of that. You can feel it, it resonates within to me, you know, the chorus singing, I think it's fantastic, classic Jimmy style with the backing vocals of all the band just, you know, doing their bit. And it's just a feel-good tune. At the end of the day, don't we want to have sometimes tunes that want to feel, you know, make you feel good? And this is what this song does. It really is a fantastic track that Jimmy Eat World have done. And I can't wait to see what their album's going to sound like, because, yeah, this is a pretty damn good hype up. The The number 2 spot for the top 10 songs of 2022 is going to The Who with Black Thunder. I'm talking about the extended edition here purely. Now, yes, you can listen to the radio-friendly version. Radio-friendly, I mean the shortened version. But to me, the real version is the extended version. We're talking about the near 9-minute epic piece that The Who have created here. And it's such an impressive track. I mean, I was watching the video clips for them, part 1 and 2, which almost tell an impressive story within the video clip, you know, and the Mongolian tribes fighting or something like that back in the day, you know, and they're trying to compress it into a song that is only 9 or so minutes long, and they did quite a decent job with it, you know. It's great visuals alongside an incredible song to go with it. The band know what their angle is. It is honouring their Mongolian traditions while updating their sound to this kind of folk metal kind of sound, you know, by playing their traditional musical instruments like the horse guitar, I think, I think it's the horse guitar and stuff, with their throat singing, of course, which is, you know, made them a prominent act these days. This is just the incredible track that's been on high repetition since I heard it come out. It's taken me aback, I guess, as to the band. I remember when, I think, Wolf Totem came out a couple of years ago, and everyone was like, you gotta listen to this, you gotta listen to these guys, they're crazy good. But Black Thunder, though, I feel that they've gambled here by writing a longer song, you know, and while it is kind of slower compared to their original piece, it's kind of operatic in a way where, you know, it's built up in style and sound and everything, and it really does pay off in my opinion. You know, I do think that this has been one of the most highly repeated high songs on repeated for me anyway this year, and absolutely love it. I mean, the whole album is great, but Black Thunder, the extended edition, absolutely amazing, mind blowing. You know, I love this track to death. I'll play it over and over constantly. Fingers have released an incredible album with Lekker Boy, and it's just incredible to hear this album from start to finish. There's not that many bad tracks on this album, but My Rush is just next level with its grandiose scales, I guess you could say. It builds up and builds it right up there in the scales, and then kind of comes crashing down. It's odd, because while you're expecting the highs to then just, you know, epically come down, it kind of lets you down slowly, I guess, and it does its job very well. You know, Sticky Fingers, they've kind of owned their craft over their years, and it's paid off a lot. And of course, I want to do a little shout out to Danny Liu, who unfortunately had an injury. If you don't know who Danny Liu is, he's the guy on the cover of the album. Yes, and he had a little run-in with police recently, was administered to hospital, and unfortunately he's had some bleeding on the brain last I saw, so hopefully he has a speedy recovery. So get well soon, Danny. Tobner have released an incredible song this year with Eternal Black, and it's just an incredible blend of chaos, doom, black metal, stoner, sludge metal, all these things coming together into this kind of noisy track. I definitely would say it's probably not for everyone, but I feel that it's definitely up there with one of my favourites for the year anyway. Now, Tobner have been a big fan of the page for a while, so I'd like to give them a shout out as well to their newest songs, Scorcher and Villain. Well worth a check out as well if you're into that stoner metal kind of scene. They do some incredible tracks, so check Tobner out now. One of my favourite albums in recent times is High on Fire's Electric Messiah, and when this album came out to my attention, Afghan Hazes of course, Hallucinations of a Heretic, it reminded me a lot of High on Fire. In particular, this track, Satan Ripper. Now, they take their influences from everywhere, of course, but this blend of aggressive metal kind of screaming at you with its vocal deliveries is just insanely good and incredibly catchy. The riffs are so on point here. I love this track, and it's an incredible one to play from start to finish. Cracker Island, it was born. The number one spot for the top 10 songs of 2022 is going to go to Gorillaz with their track Cracker Island featuring Thundercat. What can I say about this track? It's just incredibly catchy. Thundercat is an amazing bass player, and of course one of the biggest draws from this song is its rhythm section, in particular the bass line. It's incredibly infectious in its groove and a lovely song to hear. I saw Gorillaz earlier this year and they performed Cracker Island shortly after it was released as a single, and I gotta say I loved every second of it. Now, Gorillaz are one of my favourite bands of all times, of course, so it's been a long time that I had been waiting to see them live, and it felt fantastic to see them, in particular, even playing this new song. Now, Cracker Island is a beautiful song that I absolutely adore, and that is why I have made it my number one track for the top songs of 2022. Well, that's my thoughts on my top 10 songs of 2022. I hope you've enjoyed this list. And don't forget to comment below and tell me your thoughts. Would you change it up a bit? Would you leave it? If you would change it, what would you change the tracks to? And of course, I hope you enjoy these holiday seasons. And also make sure to eat lots of food and, you know, drink too much and be merry. Be friendly to everyone out there. And if you haven't already, you know, throw us a like to this video, sub to us if you can, even check it out. We've got new videos every Friday as well, and of course stay spicy out there. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Live Listen Erased, and if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with all your friends. Don't forget to subscribe to our Chili Con Carnage crew so you can get notified for all the future videos that we put out, as we put out videos every Friday. Also, we are on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter over at Live Listen Erased, so make sure to tune in over there. And don't forget to like this video so that our manager can stay very happy.